Let us please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn now to our responsive psalm for the day. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings! Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory, do his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Sirion like an ox.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all cry, Glory!
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever.
May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Glory be to God on high. with you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized in his name faithful in their calling as your children and inheritors with him of everlasting life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading this Sunday from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, beginning at the first verse. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and in spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and the new things I now declare. Before they bring forth, I tell you of them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to Christian questions and their answers, do you hope to be saved?
Yes, that is my hope.
In whom then do you trust?
In my dear Lord Jesus Christ.
Who is Christ?
The Son of God, true God and man.
The epistle reading from Romans, the 6th chapter, beginning at the first verse. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 3rd chapter. The Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, but do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the Gospel of the Lord, we confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the hymn, The Star Proclaims the King is Here.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 399, The Star Proclaims the King is Here, hymn number 399 found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Sermon text today from today's epistle reading. If we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. The words of our text. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I need a Savior. You need a Savior. The entire world, all of us, we all need a Savior. Now it is apparent to us that God the Father delights in God the Son. We hear those words today. He says, "My beloved Son, whom I love." He delights in the Son. Unless you're a self-righteous person, you remember the rich young ruler? What must I do to be saved? Well, everything. Oh, all these I have kept since I was a youth. He had no concept of his own sinfulness. Or, unless you're a crass sinner like the thief on the cross who heaped insults on Jesus from that cross, it's likely that you yourself have been concerned about your own salvation. It might go something like this. I know God loves his Son. I can believe God loves other people. But what about me? Does God love me? That's what Isaiah is pointing to in the servant song for us today. Even the best people on earth can't save themselves. Even the most righteous person on the earth cannot not atone for the sins of the entire world. But God promised a sinless servant who could not only redeem the people of Israel, but who could also redeem all people who ever were or whoever will be. The servant of Isaiah 42 is shown to us so that we might very first be sure of the Savior's work and be equally convicted of our own idolatrous sinfulness. The fact is that because of the fall, we are by nature sinful and unclean. We are hard-hearted people, and we are prone to attempt to save ourselves. We might say words like this, or you might hear somebody saying words like this. I'm a good person, or I'm a pretty good person, or I've always tried to do the right thing, or I've done my best. Yet the fact of the matter is, no matter how hard we try, we cannot save ourselves. If we could save ourselves, why would we call Jesus the Savior? He wouldn't be called the Savior. He would be called something else. Jesus the instructor. Jesus the mentor. Jesus the guide. Jesus something, but not Jesus the Savior. But indeed, who is Jesus? Jesus is our Savior. He is the helper of the helpless, the strength of the weak, the doer of the law of God. He is the one who does not get discouraged at rejection. Think of all the people in the world who are needing saved. Just regular old saved. Saved by a lifeguard, saved by a rescue swimmer, saved by a firefighter or an EMT. How discouraged would a firefighter or an EMT or a first responder get? And they show up on the scene and somebody's in dire danger, and that person says, "No, I'm good." "Yes, sir, but you've stuck your finger into a light socket." "No, I'm fine." "You're missing an arm." "No, I'm good. Leave me alone. I'm fine. No worries here. No big deal. Go away." "But you're drowning. You're going to die." "No, I'm okay. I'm fine." If our first responders kept getting those responses, how discouraged would they eventually become in their labor and in their work? So too, how many people tell God, "I'm okay, I'm fine, I don't need a Savior, I've got this, I can handle it," and yet the Savior, despite all the rejection from so many people in the world, doesn't give up. He doesn't get discouraged. He doesn't quit because of rejection. The Savior will not get discouraged or give up his mission. He will accomplish it. Now, when we read from Isaiah in that Old Testament reading for today, that is the really good stuff. You get to this part here. He says, "I am the Lord. I have called you. I will take you by the hand. I will keep you." This is God's work on your behalf. This is God's work of saving that He does for you simply because, or precisely because, you cannot do this yourself. Who's doing all of the work? The poor, miserable sinner? Not at all. It is God who's doing the work. It is the Lord who's doing the work of salvation. We see this benefiting us as Jesus steps into the waters of the Jordan River. Jesus' baptism is where He publicly takes up His mission as Savior of the world. He publicly puts on display the meaning of His name, Jesus, or God saves. What is it that occurs in the waters of the Jordan at Jesus' baptism? It is precisely that Jesus takes upon Himself the sin of the world. He becomes the sin bearer. He takes up my sin, my rebellion, even me, myself, and carries me. He takes up all your sin, your rebellion, you yourselves, and He carries you all. He does this for all people that ever have been or ever will be. And what is the Father's judgment on this act of Jesus, His Son? This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Saving, as we have mentioned, is impossible for us. We need a Savior. We, you, I, all of us are connected to the Savior's work. As St. Paul wrote down for us in the epistle reading for today, all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ Jesus. As John saw in the book of Revelation, these in white robes, who are they? These are they who have come out of great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The wonder and the glory of Christianity is not that we give our hearts to Jesus or we give our hearts to God. Why would He want them? If we take the time to inspect them and understand who we really are, what kind of gift would that be? But it is God that gives us His Son to us, and that in the waters of baptism, God the Father drapes you in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is all about God's work for you on your behalf. He in Christ declares you to be His Son. Male or female, rich or poor, slave or free, God sees us all as in Christ, draped and dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, because we are baptized, and because we do bear the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we must understand that this is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. It doesn't mean we can go and continue to live in bold and wicked sinfulness and just say, well, I'm baptized. It's all good. I'm fine. It's okay. No problem. We all have, it's true, we all have our secret sins, the sins that we commit, that we truly and really dislike ourselves for, that we are repentant of and ashamed of. We push back on these sins. Sometimes we succeed against them. Other times we fail against them and fail in that fight. When we are sorrowful and remorseful over those sins, what do? We run to a loving Father. We run to our baptisms. We plead Christ, but we must understand that as Christians we cannot endure and continue to live in open and unrepentant sin. You cannot live with a man or a woman in a marriage-type relationship without being married and say, well, I'm baptized. It's fine. I'm okay. I don't need anything from God. No, that would be being an in-your-face sinner, getting right up in God's face and saying, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and what are you going to do about it? If you die in such unrepentance, that person will suffer eternal consequences. The same for a thief, the same for the lawless, for those who are disobedient to their parents, especially the willfully disobedient to their parents, the bold commandment breakers. Claiming baptism without repentance or remorse is a sinful act. What St. Paul tells us in our epistle is, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? No, we are not to do that. We are not to continue to live in that. If we've died to sin, how can we continue to live and endure in sin? We are baptized into Christ's death and resurrection in order that we might walk, endure, fight the good fight of faith in newness of life. Why? Because our old self was buried in baptism. Our old self was put to death on the cross with Jesus Christ in the waters of our holy baptism. The old Adam was crucified with Christ so that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Christ died to sin, and Christ lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. What does this mean for you? You need to focus on what God has done for you, not focus on what you do. Now, I must confess, I've been at many a deathbed, and please, please, please let me tell you that if you are dying or you are with the dying, stay focused on Christ and on what Christ has done. Keep pointing to the cross of Jesus Christ. Keep pointing to what Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross. It's not a stunning revelation at all that we each have a different personality, and there are so many different personalities in the world. Some are what we might call difficult personalities. Some are different or unique or unusual or eccentric. Some people suffer from dementia. Some people suffer from all kinds of different things that make them act and behave in many and various and different ways. Some people we have to say, well, he's a jerk, but at least he's our jerk. And some are sweeter than the day is long and nicer than the long darkness of the night. Other people are comfortable with death and dying, and still others are fearful of it. There are those who are concerned about the sins of their lives, and there are others who are desiring absolution at the end of life. The personality type is as many and varied as there are people. And it's impossible to look at an individual, at a person, and even think that they are good enough to get to heaven. Now here's the point. This is where your baptism comes in. Because we've got to stop looking at those things. We must look to Christ all of our lives, but especially at the times of our death. For the repentant believer, sorrowful over their sins, they must look to the cross of Jesus Christ and find there the forgiveness for their sins. They must look to their baptism to defend themselves against the assaults of the devil and to be assured of the love of God. For God sent His Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. And as a Christian, your righteousness is not yours, but it is Jesus' righteousness that is imputed to you. Jesus' righteousness that is given to you. And it is given to you in the waters of your own baptism. It is given to you as a free gift of your Heavenly Father. So connected to Christ, you may then face death confidently and say, I am baptized into Christ's righteousness. I am baptized into His death. I am baptized into His resurrection. He has died, and I have died with Him. He is risen, and I too shall rise just like He has. This is our confidence and our hope as we travel the roads of this life headed to not just heaven, but the new creation, the new heavens, and the new earth when Jesus returns in glory. We can say to ourselves, He is God's Son. And by virtue of His being God's Son and my being connected to Him, I too am God's Son. You may say to yourself, in Christ alone is my peace, my glory, my joy, and my happiness. And may you have that glory and joy and happiness. And above all, may you have that peace, the peace that passes all understanding. Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for the singing of the offertory.
You have been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM on Facebook Live as well as on the Internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you're without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 to the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. If you would like more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
At this time, I would like the officers who've been newly elected to their positions to please come forward. Those who are newly elected to positions of service in the congregation for this new year, please come forward. I would first like to thank you for running for office and standing for office. Oh, we still have some coming down the aisle. But I'm going to ask you to do probably your least favorite part of the installation of officers, which is I'm going to ask you to turn around and face the congregation and state your name and the office to which you have been elected and are being installed in. And we'll start with Rod on this side.
Do we have the microphone,
sir? Just be loud.
Rod Meyer, Congregational President.
Peggy Meyer, Chairperson of the Board of Christian Education.
Diane Green, Recording Secretary.
Sam Opperman, Board of Evangelism Chair. Dave Opperman, Elder.
Sarah Schwab, Treasurer.
Jason Coleman, Elder.
Doug Shaley,
Stewardship.
Thank you very much. If you would turn and face the altar, please. Beloved in the Lord, Holy Scripture admonishes us that all things should be done decently and in good order. To that end, the constitution and bylaws of this congregation establish various offices to which men and women are appointed or elected to serve. In so doing, the church follows the example of the early Christian church as described in Acts chapter 6, which reads, "The 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word.'" The Apostle Peter writes in his first epistle, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve the other, as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is the one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as the one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." You each have been elected to serve as officers of our congregation. You have been chosen to fulfill specific offices and positions of responsibility here at Zion Lutheran Church in Lincoln. You are to work with the pastor that our life together in Christ may be orderly and pleasing in God's sight. You are to see that the services of God's house are held at their proper times, that the Word of God is purely preached and taught according to the Lutheran confessions, that the sacraments of Christ are administered according to His institution, that provision is made for the Christian instruction of young and old, that the erring are admonished, and that discipline is maintained. You are to see to the temporal affairs of the congregation, that they be properly administered, and that proper support is provided for the workers of this congregation. You are to assist in caring for the poor and the sick, in cultivating harmony among the members, in promoting the general welfare of the congregation, and in furthering the kingdom of Christ here and throughout the world. And while holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of the congregation, it is especially important that you as office bearers in His church show yourselves by word and example to be faithful to Him in service and Christian devotion. In the presence of God in this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the offices that have been entrusted to you? And do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to His word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, then answer, I do.
I do.
Beloved in the Lord, members of Zion Lutheran Church, you have heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by these men and women who you have selected to serve as officers of our congregation. Do you, as members of this congregation, promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you, so that He may be glorified and His work be done in our midst? If so, then I implore the congregation to answer, we do. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I therefore install you as officers of Zion Lutheran Church in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty and most merciful God enlighten you and strengthen you in your offices, that you may be good and faithful stewards to the glory of God's name and to the good of God's people. Amen. I invite the congregation to please rise as we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have raised up these servants for work among your people. We humbly implore you to grant them by your Holy Spirit those gifts needed for the faithful carrying out of their tasks, most especially wisdom, strength, and willing hearts. Let your blessing rest on this congregation. Strengthen the faith, quicken the love, and enkindle the zeal of its members, that your name may be glorified, and that here and in all places under the heaven, the kingdom of your Son may be advanced. We remember with thanksgiving those who have faithfully served your people and have now completed their time of service. We pray that in the end of days, we, with all your faithful people, may hear the voice of Christ saying, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundations of the world were laid." This we ask through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Go now in the name of the Lord. Be steadfast, be immovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And the Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless you and preserve you. Amen. I ask that the congregation remain standing, please, as the officers return to their places, and we will continue with the prayers of the church. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Heavenly Father, you sent your Son into the flesh to be the sin bearer. In his baptism, Jesus took up the sins of the world and earnestly began his journey towards the cross. In gratitude for Jesus' work of saving us, please grant that we repent of our sins and strive to live lives that show we are thankful for all that you have done for us through our Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Dear God, in your mercy, you have seen fit to call the soul of Eleanor Gunderman to the glories of your presence in heaven. We ask you to comfort her daughter and comfort all those who mourn Eleanor's death with her adoption by grace in the waters of holy baptism, so that trusting in Christ they may look forward to a joyous reunion in heaven. We also pray for Judy Hazley and her family as they mourn the death of Judy's brother Robert. Grant that Judy also be comforted in Jesus' work, looking forward to the day of the resurrection when all things will be made new. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Jesus, hear us as we pray for those who are sick and who are in failing health. Especially do we pray for Harold Rose and Shirley Aucamp as they endure the maladies of age. Be thou the strength and stay, not only of the sick, but also of those who care for them, that loved ones and caregivers would be the opportunity to show love and care in this world. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, as some grieve, some rejoice. Receive the thanksgiving of Mike and Julie Middlestad for the birth of a granddaughter, Ophelia Corman, born to their daughter Anne and her husband. We pray for the continued health of mother and child and ask that as Ophelia grows, she may also grow into the knowledge of and faith in Jesus as her Lord and her Savior. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you to hear our prayers for Dr. Perry as he considers the call to serve our school as principal. We ask you to give him wisdom so that he may discern your will and come to the decision that will bring glory to your name. Lord, in your mercy. These and all other petitions we bring before your throne of grace and mercy, praying the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them. Read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 537, Beautiful Savior. Hymn number 537 found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. Just reiterating our announcements for this morning. If you did order a poinsettia and would like to take it home with you, please feel free to do so today. There is no youth group this evening. There are still some of the congregational offering envelopes out in the Walther Hall here. So if you have not picked up your envelopes, please stop by the envelope table and find your box of envelopes and take that with you. I thought I saw somebody from school wandering around. But please remember, we do have pancake and sausage coming up. So there's sheets out in the Walther Hall about bulk ordering. If I remember rightly, the pre-orders are the best way to get your bulk sausage ordered. And there are ways also to donate towards the purchase of a hog if you so desire. And there are also tickets on sale for the pancake and sausage breakfast. Yes, as we said in the prayers, and as many of you, all of you have probably heard, sometime between late Thursday night and early Friday morning, Eleanor passed away at her home. Nancy, thank you for playing When Peace Like a River as our offertory. She played that out of memory of Eleanor. And Heather is going to be, Heather Heidbreder is going to be playing in Eleanor's place during second service for us today. So other than that, there are no news from the funeral home yet when Eleanor's funeral is going to be. So when that news comes out, we'll certainly get it disseminated through the congregation. And may the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.